Welcome to the St. Luke the Evangelist Parish Podcast. I'm Father David Frank, and here we are at the conclusion of the year of St. Joseph. And so to wrap up our series of reflections on St. Joseph by the men of our St. Luke Parish family, we thought we would share with you today an interview Father Jared did with Andrew Haig and Mark Pennington, two of our parishioners here at St. Luke. Andrew and Mark reflect on what St. Joseph teaches us about how to be good fathers, and even considering the fact that he had two sinless people in his household, in his holy family, Jesus and Mary, even then, St. Joseph can teach us a lot about the role of a father and the role that God entrusts to all of us fathers and how we can best live that out. And so, without further ado, I hope you enjoy this interview.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you for the gift of this parish. We thank you especially for this year of Saint Joseph, where we not only honor parents, but especially we honor fathers, and we call them forward, and we challenge them to be more like Saint Joseph, to be obedient, and to strive for holiness and faithfulness in their lives, especially in their relationships with their wives and with their children. So Lord, I ask that you might be with us in this conversation, and be with us as we further discover how you have moved in us to be holy men in a time when masculinity is very much challenged in our world. So I ask you might be in this conversation, which we leave through St. Joseph's spouse in her intercession as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. St. Luke,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So, today we have with us two awesome men in our parish who are going to share with us a little bit about St. Joseph and a little bit about just what it means to be a man and their own example in the growth of formation, growth in spirituality with the Lord. And so I will let them introduce themselves here for us.
All right, my name is Mark Pennington. I've been hanging around St. Luke for close to 30 years, and I came into full communion with the faith in 2008 through the RCIA program. I'm married to Cindy. I have three adult children, one of which is married, and we're expecting our first grandchild in June. So we're really excited about that.
That's great.
Some of the ministries I've been involved with, of course, after my conversion, I joined the Knights and then the Fourth Degree Knights. And then after about 5 years of conversion, I joined the RCIA team and was on that team for 5 years. Kept feeling a tug that something more for me. And so I inquired to the permanent diaconate, and I'm currently a candidate for ordination. Expected ordination is in 2022.
Things are progressing pretty quick.
Yeah, it's getting quick.
That's awesome.
Hi, I'm Andrew Haig. I've been in this parish since 1986, on and off. Took a five-year break to move to Jackson after Katrina, but came back. I have been married for 30 years, have four adult children per se. One's a high school senior, one married just recently. Been blessed with the children and my wife. I really, in the ministries I'm involved in, aren't many right now. I go to adoration consistently and promote adoration for the parish, and I've just joined the Lord Teach Me to Pray, being moderated by John Besh.
Oh, cool.
My parents are divorced. My mother has been inspirational to me. My father's pretty much removed from me, but when I met my future wife and her father, Carl Kokulia, he's been that inspiration for me to lead a real Catholic life, to lead a good life. He taught me the value of being a Catholic man and a holy man is to lead, provide, and protect for your family. Mm. You have to. I talk about, we were in the, it was a club called with the Kingsmen, and it talks about how St. Joseph, you think about the park where St. Joseph was put in that position, he comes down for breakfast and there's the living Christ and the mother of Christ, and he say, hey, pack up, we're going to Egypt. And he's got to lead these people, and that's your role, is to lead, provide, and protect for your family. Yeah. No matter what it takes, that's your primary role in life. And then part of that is has taught me as I've gotten more and more involved in it and using that as my guidance is, you look how the media today portrays fathers and the family, and they just beat us up. And it's really, we have to set the example that that's not the case. Mm-hmm.
I think that's awesome too, because I think a lot of people can relate to that, how like a role like calls something out of you. Like, it's like, I know, like they say, being a first time father is like, you're never prepared. And then the moment like they're in your hands, you're like, well, I got to just go for it.
Yeah, you need no instruction manual.
Yeah, it's kind of like, by it's like entering this role, it automatically calls you on to be good and to be greater, you know. It's like almost that like leadership quality, you know, that you're talking about.
Is like Andrew said, you know, from Joseph's standpoint, is the idea that Joseph was tasked to raise Jesus and protect Mary, and then he moves into Egypt and runs all, you know,
in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he didn't have a U-Haul. I mean, you know, they went to Egypt on the back of a donkey and or walked, you know, and you're not carrying all his tools of the trade. That's a tremendous amount of faith that he had in following the Lord and trusting that he would provide, you know, the things that he needed.
Yeah, definitely. No iPhone for map directions either. That'd be hard for me.
Yeah.
Did we take a wrong turn? What about like your children perhaps? Has like changed you as a man or as a father? Is there anything particular like?
Well, you know, we're going to be brutally honest here, and I will. Those first 20 years when I was sitting in the pew, I wasn't Catholic. I was Methodist, but my wife's Catholic. The kids were all baptized Catholic. Mm-hmm. I was, some people call them nuns, N-O-N-E's. I really didn't have a strong affiliation. But as the longer I sat in the pews, you know, it got very cyclical. I felt this strong need and that you need to have your children in church, right? Mm-hmm. But I couldn't take communion. I couldn't fully participate. And so, you know, I would start falling away. And I'd say, well, y'all go. You know, I'll do my dad fatherly thing from a distance. I'll say, y'all go. Well, that's a horrible example, you know. And then they would stop going. And then I would, you know, it cycled like that for years, you know.
Yeah.
Until I finally, you know, it hit me. It says, you can't lead from behind. You have to lead from the front. And so I finally made the phone call and started the conversion process. And since that point in time, you know, I have tried to set a better example for my children. Mm. I have to answer for being 20 years late, you know, eventually, you know, because my kids were pretty much when I converted, when my oldest, which is about your age, was confirmed. Okay. Okay, right after that was the driving force. That was the trigger for me. And he was my sponsor, you know. So,
that's awesome. Yeah.
You know, but since that time, we tried to set a good example for them and encourage them to continue on.
That's beautiful, too, because it's like to see your child, you know, making this firm decision in their faith, like to become an initiated member, like fully initiated, confirmed. It's like, well, I'm supposed to be the leader of this family, of the men, you know.
Right.
So it's like, well, I gotta do it, you know. So that's beautiful too. Like even more so, how like the children kind of call it out of this, you know. That's awesome. Is there anything for you?
Well, I always found it's easier to lead people by pulling them forward instead of pushing from the back.
Absolutely.
And then the Lord has given us adversities, and my big moment, I would say, was back in 2011. We've always been in the church, and we were just moved back from Jackson, and things were in some adversity hit us. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were sitting on the floor in the bathroom organizing cabinets, and my wife's like, "Honey, there's not much money left in the checking account at this time. We have," and it came when we were praying. I was constantly praying to Saint Joseph, and so he'll provide. He's the leader. And then phone calls came after phone calls, and the next thing you know, boom, boom, boom. Within 2 weeks, I was employed. Things started happening again. It turns around because you have to understand, you have to have trust and faith. He will provide.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the example that has to be set, that we're here to provide and protect our family. So,
yeah.
And my biggest goal is I used to always use the slogan, iron sharpens iron, is to make other men better, to move us forward.
Any tangible experience you have, even like with your wives, where like, man, they like called me on to be a better man or to be a holier man? Or
my wife's a saint. Period. As a sentence, she puts up with me. I will say we've had some issues with my stubbornness, but when we were talking, we had our two children, and we were talking about her quitting work, Yeah, so we just got to trust in the Lord at that time. Mm-hmm. And she was actually making more than me, but it was tearing it up to bring the kids to daycare, so we did that. And then I brought up the idea of homeschooling my four children. All four have been homeschooled. Mm-hmm. All have, you know, full rides to colleges. They've all done well. She's, like I said, she's a saint. She's taught them very well.
Yeah.
And then it was Columbine that happened. We took that tragedy, and she saw the mother complaining, and she just put her kid on the bus, and she'll never see her again. So she decided to homeschool. And along those ways, it's always been the interjection there, but she gives me credit for coming up with the idea, because she had to have that faith also. And this is the way I wanted to leave my children. I wanted to have better children. I wanted to be different. Mm-hmm. I wanted our children to be different and not exposed to, you know, some of the schools and what happens in schools, the bullying, mm-hmm. the harassment, all this stuff that goes on with, you know, sex in the school nowadays. And, you know, I don't believe that that stuff should be taught at home, not mm-hmm. in the school system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want my kids coming to me or my wife and discussing those things, not discussing them with their friends in, you know, behind the gym.
Yeah.
So the Lord has come to us and said this, and she's had to have faith and trust in me that that's the direction we want. And she did, mm-hmm. blindly. She's had signs, and, you know, she said, okay, I'm going to do this. You're right, we'll do this. Mm-hmm. And it's really just, and then she takes the lead. And I think that's the role we have to take is, you know, honey, mm-hmm. this is, I think, the direction we go to, and let her make those decisions, and then we support those decisions.
Yeah.
Well, much like Andrew, you know, life changed dramatically when we had children. A couple of major life events occurred. Cindy, we decided that we wanted to, she wanted to stay home, you know, for the kids and be a full-time mom. Now, she didn't, she's a school teacher, so she didn't go the homeschooling route, you know. She thought that wouldn't turn out well for them. So, but, you know, we felt it was really important to have her home when they left and have her home when they got home from school. And I had just started my company. Basically, I quit a good job to start a company at the time. And so it was quite a leap of faith to do that. And she never wavered, you know, and she did it. And like Andrew, I'm married way up in that regard. She is a much more empathetic, holy person than I can ever even strive to be. And I ask for her level in my prayer life. I ask for her level of empathy and seeing things. She just sees things. She says, and thank goodness, she says, you need to go and do this or that, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, you're right. That'd be a real good thing to do. You know, I'll go do it, you know, because... Yeah. She has that innate ability to do that. And, you know, and the same thing when I came home, Deacon Harold and Deacon Ron cornered me and said, you need to go to this Deacon Inquiry thing, you know, 4 years ago. And, that's a whole long story, but I went home and told her, and she got wide eyed and looked at me and said, what's that mean? And she first thing she said, is, I'm not Miss Leah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, I understand that. You know, we're just going to go 1 week, you know.
It's a tough standard, Lear and Harold.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we're the same thing. We've been going 1 more week for 4 years now, mm-hmm. you know. But she's been there the whole step of the way. Makes almost every class, unless...
Well, yeah.
It does get trumped by kid things. She, if a kid's doing mm-hmm. it, she knows to do the kid thing. But,
yeah.
You know, it's the people you have in your life that are important, you know, and I guess Joseph probably maybe felt a little bit the same way. He saw how important, you mm-hmm. know,
yeah.
his wife was, and certainly his son. So,
don't you find it interesting? Our role is to get our spouse to heaven.
Yeah.
We have the easy side, as our wives are. They're saints, and they're already going to get there. They have the harder end of this.
Yeah, she's got a much rougher road to hold than I do.
You're their cross, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's very like. Yeah, I mean, that's very much similar to Joseph and Mary, too. You know, like this, because as y'all are both speaking, I was thinking, you know, he's probably feeling the exact same way as y'all, you know, in the sense of like, man, like, these two are perfect here, and somehow I'm, like, supposed to be leading them, you know. And yet, like, I'm sure if they're a holy family and they're an ideal family for us, that means that Jesus, and like, as he's growing up, did not see that there was, like, this huge difference between Mary and Joseph in that sin was in one sin was not in the other, you know. And yet, like, it was a game, but like a teamwork game plan, like leading together in the humility that takes of the bride as well, you know, mm-hmm. of the wife and of the husband to be able to admit that, like, I'm not where I want to be, but she's helping me to become where I want to be, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, I think that's beautiful. That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's I think that could be the overwhelming sense of fathering too, is like one, where to begin, you know, like, or like, how do I become someone that becomes an adoration goer, you know? Mm-hmm. What if I'm not ready for that? Like, what happens if I start that, then God's expecting more of me? Then I, you know, it's like this fear there, you know?
But that's,
like,
going to happen.
Yeah. But it's like, but it's exciting. More, yeah. But it's exciting. It's to see it as adventurous, right? Exciting adventure, as opposed to like this double yoke.
Mm-hmm. But you know, the funny part is, he's going to give you only what you can handle. Mm-hmm. My mother's cousin is the retired Monsignor Bobby Massett.
Okay.
And he would always say that. He only gives you what you can handle. Calm down. You know, you got this. He's going to be there. He's never going to put you out there and let you fail. Mm-hmm. You fail because of what you've done, but he's not going to let you fail.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, for those that adoration and all, you know, when you'll find yourself, at least I did, you know, where... You know, my mindset changed for, I have to go to Mass, you know, as an obligation. I have to go to Mass, or I have to go to adoration because I'm scheduled. Mm-hmm. And it totally flips, you know, when he starts, you know, tugging at your heart, you know, it says, I get to go to Mass. I get to go to adoration. Yeah. You know, it's a blessing to you to do that. And then, you know, it's almost, for me, it was a switch. I mean, it was like an on and off thing. It was all of a sudden, it flipped for me.
Probably after the third adoration visit, it was like, oh, I'm going to find a way to make it, keep this up going.
Yeah.
And I remember when the church was closed for COVID, as soon as it opened, I mean, I was running to get back into my spot. Like, I needed that. I needed the personal interaction, but I needed to see the sacrament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seeing it on a computer screen is one thing, but
being
in Mass with others.
Yeah, being the presence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, too, is like, there's really no pressure when it comes to adoration, too. You know, it's like, sometimes just getting there, like, it's like, listen, we managed to, like, especially when it's late at night, we got the kids to bed, and I made it here. You know, even if I'm totally distracted, you know, it's like, I made it here.
Right.
We got this hour to just be with the Lord, you know. And so sometimes that's important to remember, too, for people. It's like, there's not really any pressure. You gave your time, now let the Lord do his thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And he'll do it, you know. But yeah, so that's usually good. I guess if there's, to kind of, like, wrap up a little bit, would be, is there anything from y'all, like, to someone, to a father in our parish, maybe particularly like younger families, you know, like new, maybe dad for the first time, or maybe dad with lots of kids. And what will be your advice, like from your perspective, like in your experience, how could they be closer to God, or how, what is something that you think they should challenge themselves to really deepen that faith, to really strengthen it? It can be super small, or even very concrete and practical, like, you know.
Bring yourself to Mass and your family. Be at Mass. I like when the kids are noisy at Mass. You know, that's the future of the church. The children are the future of the church. And as a parish, we need to embrace those and be tolerant, certainly. You know, kids are going to act up in Mass. You know, an hour is a long time for a little one to sit still and quiet.
Yeah.
And so... And yes, they can sit still and quiet until a homily, and then they're going to start fussing because it's 25 minutes in, right?
Yeah.
And you know, we need to be understanding of that and be supportive and maybe wiggle a finger over the pew to, you know, to, you know, dad, distract the little one, you know?
Yeah.
You know, just to help mom and dad out. But,
yeah.
You know, for a young father, you know, don't break that cycle, you know. As soon as you can and it's safe again, bring your family to Mass.
Yeah.
And don't stop, you know. Live your life by example, you know. Show your children from the earliest age that you get to go to Mass. You don't have to go to Mass.
Yeah.
I think I'm going back. I've been on three of the youth visits to Indianapolis for the NCYC thing. And you see the young church, and it is strong.
Mm-hmm.
But they fall off from there. And that's the thing. We as older adults, older parents, older fathers, we need to reach out to these younger fathers. Mm-hmm. Because there seems to be a gap in our kids if they make confirmation and they go through college. And then we try to get them back in the church. So we need to reach out and say, hey, look, you need me to babysit. You need me to do something with your kids so you and your wife can go to Mass. So you and your wife can go to adoration. Mm-hmm. We need to be there for the younger fathers coming up and show them and try to teach them. That was reason one of the reasons Kingston failed is because everybody in the group was over 50. We needed younger people to say, hey, let us give you our knowledge and experience. Let us help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That support system is really important. We need a parish support system.
Right. And if I could help anyone, it would be like, Jeff, go to church. Find time for your wife. Find time for your children. Find time for prayer. Mm-hmm. Some place in your house that just you, 10 minutes. Spend 10 minutes with Jesus in the morning in prayer. And your life will change.
Yeah.
That's a true statement, too, because as you know, the Liturgy of the Hours is one of the most powerful spiritually enhancing things that I have done now with the formation process. And so those prayers are beautiful, and it's comforting to know that you're praying the same prayers that everybody else is.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And like setting apart the day and for the Lord, you know, keeping it holy, no matter what day it is. Yeah, something about the morning too, you know, like to like from this, like you're starting the day with the Lord so that everything you see this day is from that lens. You know? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, awesome. And I think if there's anything I would include to that would be like, you know, fathers being a good example for their kids with regards to, and their wives, but of confession, you know, just like to admit when we're wrong and when we failed, and that's okay. Like, you know, we come back to the Lord first, seeking his mercy, you know. But to see that as like, this is important to me as a father, you know, so this should be important to everyone in my family as well, you know, like this seeking mercy from the Lord.
You see those young families where they bring all the kids for confession, you know, and that's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah.
You know, it really, really is.
It's awesome. Well, I'd like to thank y'all for being here, for joining me in this conversation. And everyone listening, please keep Mark in prayer and Andrew in prayer, obviously with regards to their own fathering and their own just growth in depth. But we also pray for you who's listening that you might continue to grow closer to the Lord and to really allow yourselves to be challenged by this this figure of St. Joseph and to seek, you know, a higher calling and to be, you know, deeper, more loving father for your kids and for your wife. So thank you. And St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Amen.
Amen.